Hey, so thus far we have been consistently going through different genres and progressively dialing down into what we're going to do now, which is an extended example. And that example, as you may have guessed from the last session, is The Terminator. Now keep in mind, when we talk about The Terminator, there are actually four films, and these are not entirely consistent with one another. But that doesn't mean that we can't get at some of the deeper frameworks going on in that particular narrative universe. But just keep in mind that if you're a fan of one or more of these films, I may be improvising some ideas that themselves may be inconsistent with what's actually in those different stories. So this is my disclaimer for taking intellectual license when it comes to that. The purpose is to get at the deeper frameworks. And really, these are not just about The Terminator, they're about storytelling in general. And Terminator series is just one particular series of manifestations of story. So let me suggest that one of the major frameworks going on in Terminator is a very old framework indeed. If you know your Greek and Roman mythology, then you probably have heard of a fellow by the name of Hercules. Now, in one of the narratives about Hercules, and I'm thinking here of a particular play by Plautus called Amphitryo, highly recommend you read this play. In this play, Amphitryo goes off to war, leaving his wife Alcmene behind. And among other events and intrigues in that play, the god Saturn disguises himself as Alcmene's husband. He comes down, has sex with her, and impregnates her with a child. And when Amphitryo comes home from the war, he is absolutely furious, and he curses the god Saturn. And of course Saturn replies, "How dare you curse me? I've just given you a semi-divine child." And that child is, of course, Hercules. And he is blessed or cursed with these miraculous powers. And what you're seeing here is a basic framework or story architecture in which a child descended from the gods winds up with human parents. And this child is blessed, or like I said, cursed with miraculous powers. And these powers are to be put in the service of saving the world. Maybe just part of the world or the whole damn place. The point being is they've got a duty. With great power comes great responsibility. And if you look in the annals of human storytelling, you'll find that there are thousands of stories just like this. This basic framework is the situation with Jesus, and it's the same with Superman, and in a roundabout way, it is the basic architecture of the Terminator. Now, many of you who know and love Terminator will say, but, John Connor has two human parents. And this is true to a certain extent. But we're talking about the level of symbolism here. So notice how one of those parents comes from the future. And he comes to give birth to a son who will supposedly, eventually, be part of maybe not saving the world, but defeating, leading the uprise that will defeat the machines. Now, coming from the future is really not so distinct from being a god who descends from the clouds. And notice how one of those parents, namely the father, he dies. He comes from the future, and then he disappears from the story. But how exactly is Kyle Reese born again? In the future, after dying in the present. It's never fully explored, not even in part four, I don't think. The point being is that Kyle Reese, the father, never really begins or ends. He's a kind of permanent presence. He's a kind of god. Or maybe a better way to think of him is as an angel. And in fact, if you watch the deleted scenes on the Terminator 2 special features, you'll find that there is a scene with Reese that was removed. And it is one where he very much symbolically operates as a kind of god or angel when he visits John Connor's mother, Sarah Connor. And although the name Kyle Reese might not be particularly meaningful, the name John Connor just happens to have JC as its initials, not unlike Jesus Christ. And, you know, maybe he's just named after John Connor, or sorry, maybe he's just named after James Cameron, but nonetheless, you do have this kind of tip towards JC sounds. So, not unlike Jesus Christ, who was also born in the body of a human woman based on her interactions with a deity descended from the clouds, well, this is kind of what's going on with John Connor, right? Now, there's no one-to-one correspondence here to the Hercules, Superman, Jesus architecture, but you do have the virgin birth. You have the conditions for a virgin birth, or at least a birth that involves a sexual union between a godlike person and a human, or someone who has godlike abilities. Technology is a kind of magic. And again, I'm not saying that really Kyle Reese is a god, but this technological ability to have a time machine stands in for those powers of a god. And so I would venture that this story is in keeping with science fiction and action as genres, but it's also a descendant of this Greek, biblical, and Roman mythology that we see in Plautus, the play by Plautus called Amphitryo, in a very big way. Difficult to notice at first glance, but it's there. And, you know, even though John Connor himself may not have miraculous powers like Superman or Jesus, he is able to control Schwarzenegger as the Terminator and get him to do moral or more moral things like shooting cops in the knees instead of killing them. So John Connor has this angelic touch in his own way. He has the ability to command, and he commands on a moralistic basis. And that's the whole point about his leadership and his eventually becoming the army, the leader of the army of the future. It's precisely based on this ethical and moral streak in his nature. And it's a preternatural moral streak. It's more than human. He goes the distance more than any other person would go. And it is a kind of miracle that anyone would want to put themselves at such risk in order to save the future. Now, all that said, we said that Kyle Reese, the father of John Connor, uses a time machine, so let's talk a little bit about time travel. It's definitely part of a genre framework. The first thing we should say is that the Terminator movies use time travel in order to construct a really kind of paradoxical fantasy in which it might be possible to defeat an enemy, but only after it has caused such enormous destruction. So, these Terminator stories are not only about the possibilities of time travel, but also about the limits of time travel. And this is perhaps the most important genre framework going on here. And it's a lesson that can be used in any kind of storytelling that is structured around a magical or technological device, is you have the possibilities matched by limitations. And this is at the very deepest level. It's not like anybody is jumping out and saying, oh my goodness, this is what Terminator is really about. It's the strength that's underlying everything. So, what are the possibilities of a technology? What are its limitations? And again, it's not just the time machine. That's what the Terminator itself is. It is loaded with possibilities, but it's also overloaded and burdened with limitations. So you want to think about what are the strengths of this magical device or technology, and what balances it in relation to the dangers it creates, or what puts it out of balance. And these are really the fascinating framework conventions to explore in a story like that. But you have to work hard to avoid contradictions. So for instance, how is it possible to send a robot made entirely of steel and electronics wearing a suit of human skin, but you can't send clothing through the time machine? They have to come through naked. That's kind of the thing that... it certainly works on a primal visual level, but logically, I don't know, something to think about. That issue aside, however, something that's very striking and something I'm not sure how to account for, but that can serve as an interesting challenge for anyone writing stories, is that the Terminator series does not use time travel to escape nuclear war. It's very odd. It's very interesting. The time travel is used to help humans survive nuclear war after the fact. So humanity needs to survive in order to defeat the machines. And this is a very interesting logic. It's a logic of revenge, essentially. They need to survive in order to take revenge, not even just to be wiped out. So there isn't a fantasy of renewal, really, as in the disaster movies. In fact, it's kind of really depressing to think that the future of humanity will be to fight against the machines in a world that is completely destroyed and really could never be effectively healed. So we're being shown a picture of the future that isn't really even worth living in a sense. And this is a key point in all the movies, even part 3 and part 4, we're not really given any good reason to want to survive. So, and I'm not making this as a criticism that this is something bad. I think it's actually part of the power of this story. It's that hope and pessimism are mixed together in such a profound way. And it's a clue to their appeal. They mix totally thrilling situations with a sense of hope that is tinged so strongly with sadness. And there's a sadness to the feeling that survival is preferable to extinction, no matter what the situation of survival might be. So we would rather live in miserable conditions and fight the good fight than die out completely. And this is dystopia. This is a dystopic attitude. Even though the humans win, so long as the mother of the future remains alive, and so long as John Connor remains alive, and so on, there's really limited incentive for humans to live under such terrible conditions other than A, to take revenge, and B, not to die. So one of the main questions is why do the Terminator films have characters who long to protect a future that is clearly miserable to live in? I don't have an answer necessarily, but what this suggests to me is that the framework point to exploit is that we as humans are ambivalent and confused about our own progress through the world, especially now that we have technology. And so that's really what I want to get at in the core of this extended example about Terminator, is that we are confused by our progress and our place in the progress, and we are being, in a way, outmoded by our inventive abilities. We're starting to invent machines that literally are self-inventing. There's code that can replicate itself and innovate upon itself. And we feel that anxiety. And so that's something to really, really tap into in storytelling. And so homework. Create a technology that has strengths and limitations, and create a world in which humans do not necessarily have a good reason to survive, and explore why they want to survive anyway. Those are framework exercises. Enjoy them, and I hope you'll let me know about your results.